I believe we are.
Cool. Well, this isn't October, this is November. Indeed. The second, is that correct, or is it the third?
No, the third.
Oh, it's the third?
It's the third, yes.
Oh. Oh, yes. Okay.
Jennifer's here.
Hello, Jennifer.
And I'm sorry, today is the second. I apologize, Alan.
Oh, really? Is
yes.
this?
Yes.
That's better. I like that.
At least you didn't lose today.
Well, I thought I had, suddenly. But since I had to adjust to losing an hour, no, gaining an hour. That was it, gaining an hour, yes. Then losing a day. Didn't seem quite a fair trade-off. So, let's light our candles and hope that others are... Oops, sorry, Kenneth. On their way in. How about Magnus? Is Magnus here? No. Or Randy? Or Helen? Quietness prevails. So, you all want to go ahead? Shall we go ahead and bless a while?
Sure.
Jennifer, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. Child of
wonder. Wonder.
Child of play. Nourish our spirits.
Protect
our aim. Wonderful. So, what kind of week have you been having, Dan?
It's been a good week. I got,
You're quiet again. You had gotten really loud last week.
Okay, is that better?
Only slightly.
All right, how about now?
A little more.
Okay, I'm working on it. Am I there yet?
It's a little better, but not nearly as loud as you were last week.
Okay, I can fix this. All right, how about now?
That is perfect.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, I just got off my headset.
Oh,
but I was on the headset last week, so I don't know. Maybe it's those solar flares.
Are you on speakerphone?
Was I? No.
No. Oh, you're not now?
No, I'm just on my regular handset.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, I know you probably prefer the headset, but you can trade back and forth.
Yeah, I will.
Speaking. So what was walking in acceptance like?
Kind of switched back and forth from acceptance of others to acceptance of myself. So it was kind of it shifted. It wasn't one or the other all the time.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like doing the six direction day greetings and day endings?
Nothing particular jumped out at me. It's pretty much as it has been.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem more complete to you when you're going around now to all the directions?
Yeah, I guess it does, yeah. Yeah, that would be a fair assessment.
Mm-hmm. And did you, had I mentioned about asking for help in any particular area and then thanking?
You did, but I didn't have an area that it struck me to ask for help in this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
Well, it depends. It depends. Yes, no, certainly not a bad thing. And it's this idea of asking for help is also to build a stronger connection.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of a nice way to test the actuality of these beings.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could even be if you needed information about something.
Uh-huh.
So
I'll do that this week.
Yeah, well, it's just good practice, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Building that relationship. How about for you, Jennifer?
Oh, it was I kept watching to notice for something, but I really don't know. I could feel the beings, I thought, when I said the rituals.
Okay.
And I did ask for them to show me acceptance.
Okay.
It was a real pleasant day, but I don't know that I figured out any meaning of it to me. And I thanked them.
Okay. So, what in your understanding would acceptance mean to you? I.e., does it have to have a meaning?
Oh. Well, yeah.
Okay. So what meaning would you think it might have?
To accept things as they are. I did notice at first, I'm always trying to stay ahead or get too much done. And that stopped by saying the ritual.
Well, okay, so then you therefore were more in
present. Yeah.
Right. So is it possible that acceptance is a condition and not a thing that we have to have meaning on?
Yeah.
I.e., we can look for meaning in something, but then, of course, what we're doing is we're taking it out of the realm of an experience and then putting it into the realm of an abstract or something that we have to dissect or analyze.
But it seems like they ought to jive together a little more. You know, a meaning and a sensation or something. Or is that just that as we've progressed, we've separated them so bad we can't do that?
I guess part of that depends on what you mean by meaning.
Well,
if you would say meaningfulness, I would say that any experience has that. But when you say meaning, you're talking about some kind of an explanation.
Yeah.
And, okay, supposing you were in joy, supposing you felt free, supposing you felt in a state of bliss, just felt radiantly wonderful, do you look for a meaning for that?
Yeah, I guess I do.
And then what would happen once you had a meaning?
I could identify it in later times. Instead of recognizing the sensation.
You could identify it or you could reproduce it.
Reproduce it.
Okay, so that is your belief then.
I guess.
That is your belief is that if I can analyze an experience, I can replicate it. And what that says is that you are either in charge of that experience or you know all the parameters of that experience. And that works well when you're doing a magical formula, say. However, when you're having an experience of something, it may not work well. It may be that you have to go to a whole other place.
It doesn't work at all for me.
Okay, because you can't get an analysis.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Then I will stop trying. Perhaps what you're being shown is to accept your experiences just as they are. And that knowingness will come over time if you stop trying to think about or understand them from a mental place. And you're a good researcher, so how about that? And that's really fine. It's just now, because as we move forward in these courses, particularly as we go into basic shamanism, you often will have experiences that your normal mind can't comprehend at all. And so you don't want to set yourself up for getting in that sort of dilemma.
No. Well, how do you stop it? Do you just...
accept. Work more on acceptance. That's the whole point of it.
You don't wonder where it came from or why it came around or nothing.
No.
Just
right.
Happened and you go on.
You catalog the experience. You observe the experience and then you go on. Therefore, the experience is pure. It's not reshaped by thought. Because a lot of these experiences, we don't have enough prior experience to shape them by thought. Dan, how do you feel about all this? What's your take on this?
I can see where there's going to be things that if you analyze it too much, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
You can analyze it right out of your reality.
That's certainly a hazard. But even as soon as you start to analyze it or, you know, seek to understand it from a mental point of view, you're going to experience, right?
Right.
You've taken yourself out of present time into thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So... If acceptance has brought you to that place, Jennifer, that's powerful. To where you question all of that, that's very, very useful because it would be difficult to go on trying to mentally framework everything that we're going to experience.
Okay, I need to stop that. I do that on everything, though.
Just watch it. Don't try to stop it. Now that you see it, just observe it. Throw more light on it. You know, don't try to change it. You don't need to.
So just start looking all around then.
Yeah, just start noticing more and more when you do that. And just say, aha, there I am analyzing. No judgment. Don't judge what you see. Just say, okay, that is analysis. So you know that that's what you're doing.
Okay.
And then you see another part of you is going to start coming to the surface more and more that doesn't need to do that. Now, this aspect that you're seeing is a large part of that which causes unrest in you. You know, because early on, somehow you were convinced in your experiencing that your protection in life was to be able to analyze your experiences.
Yeah.
And so, see, what that does is it puts a vast limiter on your experiences. And it kind of knocks you out of present time before you even get a foothold, you know. So, I would say you got one of the biggest gifts you've gotten during day greetings and day endings and so forth, exit rituals with this one, even though initially you didn't know you had had an experience even. But you see, really what you're finding out is that your mind knows very little about acceptance. Your spirit may know a lot about it, but your mind is what is speaking to you. So what were the six direction day greetings and day endings like? How did that make you, what kind of an awareness did that give you, or what was different about it?
I found it uplifting and pulling, very positive.
Good. Good. You see, because that's where we want to be. You know, and I understand what you're saying all too well, because that is equally the way I have lived my life, too. It's a frustrating place to dwell in, because it's like, you know, if I'm just hypervigilant enough and just mentally alive enough, I will somehow know what to do, how to do it, how to handle situations, and so forth. In fact, I used to pre-discuss all my conversations with people. I just remembered I used to do that. It's been so long, I mean, I've stopped that a long time ago, but I know I used to do that. Because I didn't want to be quite empty-handed. I wanted to have the perfect response. But it's a tragic way to live, I can tell you.
Yeah, it is. I'm always, if I say something to someone, I'm always worried that I said the wrong thing, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So the next step, of course, is to prepare before you even say anything.
Yeah.
Even before you get to the person. So there's nothing alive in the conversation because you've done it already 10 times or more before you had it and you're exhausted. So, yeah, you'll find yourself not wanting to go there so much as you see it more, without having to try to stop it. So, has anybody else come in for class yet?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Lovely.
Hi.
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 Hi, Randy. Hi, Helen. Helen,
hi.
We missed you last week.
Yeah, I missed you too.
Oh, good. And Magnus is here too.
I'm here. I've been dropping.
Oh, I'm so glad. I was afraid that all of you people had dropped off the face of the universe, and I wasn't sure quite where to go to look for you. So, Randy, what was your experience with walking in acceptance?
Well, doing the greeting basically would take me out of my mental framework for a few moments.
Okay.
And during those few moments, I felt accepting of everything that my mind was in turmoil over. As you were talking about the experiences, you know, my mind also wants to define my experiences and put meaning to them and try to
degrade them to?
No, dramatize them.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And make them into more than what they are.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I can, you know, work up some heavy emotions around, well, I guess emotions or feelings, whatever, you know, around what my mind makes up.
Right. And I would hunch that those are more feelings than emotions because they're probably somewhat agitative.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So that's cool, you know? That's really neat because, see, what you're doing is, you're wanting to make not being in present time be alive for you.
Well.
However, if you would just stay in present time, you would be far more alive. Now, the next factor is which place would you have the control?
In present time.
Exactly.
Because I have no control over the past or future, so.
That's right. You have some control over the future if you will be in the present.
Mm.
And the Tarot will prove that to you.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
However, you're right. If you're not in present time, therefore, what's happened? Okay, this is very, very important to us, all of you are sharing, because what happens then is you've got to rely on memory to tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than observing it in present time. And even though in this course we don't spend a lot of energy or time on evaluating the function of memory, we will in basic shamanism. But I can assure you one of the things we're going to find out is that memory is not always your best friend in terms of accuracy, because it is influenced by past experience and past significance.
Well, okay. I was going to say, my memory of the past experience a lot of times will bring back the feeling that I had during that experience.
That is correct. It's exactly what it does.
Yeah. And I'd like to stop doing that.
Okay. Just like I told Helen, all you need to do at this point is witness that.
Mm-hmm.
In a detached as you can way.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough. Because see, what we're doing is we're building up an armament of experiences in present time. By so doing, to counter our mind's tendency to want to take us out of present time and then do all kinds of adjustments to make us feel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful experience, Randy.
Well, I like what you said about that. That's interesting that, I look to define my present moment through the past.
Right. And then to make it alive as well.
Mm, yeah.
So you add fire energy to it, don't you see?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's quite a clever thing to do, but it doesn't necessarily give you the actual result you may want.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay. So what were six directions like for you with day greetings and day endings?
I didn't do many of them.
Well, I didn't ask how many. Even if you did one, it would still qualify.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty much like it was for the day greeting. The exit ritual for the, leaving the house.
Are you taking more time with it? Are you taking enough time, or are you doing it mechanically?
Well, when it's cold outside, I tend to kind of rush through.
Okay, I know the tendency.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you won't believe this till you experience it, more than likely. However, if you will go out, whether it's cold or whatever, with the total intention that this greeting is going to nourish you in a way that you can't even imagine, and you take your time and you do it with full awareness and focus, all that you can muster, I guarantee you, you will not be cold.
All right.
But you're going to have to find that out yourself, but you
yeah.
can't hedge. You can't hedge. You have to do it full out.
Okay.
And I've had experiences sitting in very, very cold weather where I could not, even for an hour, motionless, where I could not perceive cold at all. Totally possible. I'm talking about nearly zero weather and just clad in a light shirt and shorts.
Well, next time I will go out and
give it a whirl.
Do it.
Yeah, cool. Helen, what was your experience with walking in acceptance?
It's been very powerful. I have really experienced freedom from it. It has been feeling extraordinarily accumulative, actually, over the last 2 weeks, to not do, you know, what Jennifer was talking about, and you were talking about, which I've certainly lived my life that way also, in terms of analyzing and thinking things. It just feels like a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
is correct.
Yeah, it's just free. I kept going, this is freedom.
That is right.
And it felt really good. And yesterday I had to give a talk at hospice, and I went in the least prepared I've ever done. Did some stuff, you know, to know what the hell was going on.
Right.
But I totally relaxed, and afterwards, there's almost usually some kind of post-mortem thing, you know, or what if I said this or done that, and anytime my mind went to do that, I just stopped and said, you know, I have a choice, and I'm choosing not to do that. I just really enjoyed it and let it go at that, you know.
How did the people there enjoy it?
Well, I think it went well. It's hard to know. There were about 25 people, and it's part of a training program that hospice gives, and
sure.
So they've been there since like 8 o'clock in the morning, and
mm-hmm.
when things were over, a couple of people came up afterwards, but mainly everybody just ran to the door. But no, it felt very good. I mean, I think I could feel, it really felt good. I did it with a coworker, the two of us did it, and
mm-hmm.
I had fun. So that's kind of what I was using as my yardstick.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I did the all-day workshop on the four elements that Dan attended in Florida, and I didn't prepare for that. I had notes, but I didn't, you know, I didn't sit down and study everything to the hilt and so on. And my major concern was, could I do four elements in, I don't know, 6 hours or whatever was the actual time period, because, of course, we broke for lunch and so forth. And we ended exactly on time.
Mm. That
covered all the material.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's
and
great.
You can't see, you know, you can't plan something like that. Well, you can, and you can attempt to, but to me, it makes it not alive.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's, you know, as we're talking about it, I a lot of sadness is coming up for me, or that might not be the right word, not sadness, tears, but it's almost, you know, I don't know if my assemblage point is moving or not, but
possibly
my whole concept of who I am and why do I do what I do and, you know, how am I living my life and not being prepared. And I mean, I'm really playing with this living in the moment thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, No complaints about it at all. But it's also disorienting in a way.
It is. Of course it is.
Yeah, because the whole sense of identity is
well, right. Exactly so. And you don't have the same safety factors that we generally depend on.
Yeah.
However, once you begin to look at it, a lot of those safety factors are actually determinants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I stopped smoking cigarettes last week, and I've been going through this detox process. So, and at times have felt like I've been in a somewhat altered state.
Oh, of course.
And so everything is kind of, you know, just, but very, very comfortable. I'm really enjoying it. But
well,
I feel a little weird.
Well, of course you feel weird.
Yeah.
And see, from my experience, a big part of the reason why you can enjoy it is because you've done as much work as you have done in this course.
Yeah, I think in the course, and I think it's just in my life, you know.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Remember that the original premise of this course was it was a work in life.
Mm-hmm.
It was not meant to be extracted from life.
Yeah.
You know, and I've watched you. And so has the rest of your fellow students. And we've seen you shifting the way you perceive. Everybody is.
Yeah.
Cool. Magnus, what was it like for you, walking in acceptance?
Walking in acceptance was, I don't know where to begin. Excuse me. Wonderful and phenomenal. To me, it was a form of invocation, affirmation, acknowledgement, an acceptance of the presence of powers in control, that they are for my good, and that they are for unfolding the truth of, folding truth of my being and intent.
You know, as you say that, what you remind me of, and you may not know about this unless you've seen a lot of movies here in this country, but one of my favorites is the Australian Crocodile Dundee movies.
I'm not sure I've seen it.
And one of the things he said, he's this, you know, Australian down under crocodile warrior and outback camp, you know, he's very natural in the woods and so forth. And his simple expression about what was his relationship to God was, oh, me and God be mates. And that's what you sound like as you're talking, you know, that you sound more like you're describing a friendship.
Exactly.
And that's actually what I'm wanting all of us to perceive. You know, there is no indication that I have had, at least, well, let me put it a different way. One of the most curious phenomena to me in religion is what is called worshiping deities. Now, I don't disapprove of that at all. I think it's great. I just don't understand it. I don't know what it means. I appreciate deity tremendously. I just don't know quite how to do it when you try to go to that next step.
Can I interject one thing there on that, Alan?
Oh, of course.
It's kind of interesting that the word worship...
Is that Tom?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know you were in class with us today.
Well, I'm here, and I just wanted to say that it's interesting that you said that. I don't want to take up a lot of time here, but worship, according to the biblical text, means literally... the same thing, the dog licking his owner's hand.
Okay. So it's really, you would say, more of an act of connection?
Yeah, so I think it's connection and total, let's say total affection, not based on, you know, the minute-by-minute realities of the day.
Okay, okay. So it isn't an act of the lower to the higher.
Well, it depends on how you look at it, I suppose. You know, in the natural, you know, if you look at a dog as a lower being.
I don't. I don't look at
it. I don't either, because I believe that they are teachers to us.
Right, right. I look at it as a different being.
Yes, exactly. And I just think that as human beings, we have a tendency to always put ourselves in a superior position.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it kind of goes along with the territory of what we've all been talking about.
Exactly. And I just wanted to say that I just love what Magnus just said. He said it, the same thing that I've been experiencing this week, and that was accepting that the powers, you know, total acceptance of the powers that be.
Magnus, did you want to say more? I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just so taken with your expression.
Thank you. Yes. As a matter of fact, something happened to me this week because my morning is the day, beginning of the day greeting and the ending, I follow them religiously and, you know, with conviction. Like I said, it's more like an invocation before I set off.
Right.
And I cared less about how people are up, they felt. But something to me, I'm sorry, not caring less because I don't know. That is, I did it without any form of inhibition. You know,
okay.
I didn't care who was looking.
Right.
I did it religiously. But something happened in the week that was like the kind of story you hear in UFO story.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, am I going nuts or something? Making it brief, I was leaving one of our customers' premises. I know I backed off into a place then was on the road. I made a left turn. I was very, very much to be present to my best knowledge. But suddenly, how I skipped roads without knowing it, I found myself in another place, but it's the continuation of my journey, you know, back to the office.
I know it. Okay, I've had that experience too.
I stopped. I said, what? How about the other street? Because this is a place I know very well.
You went out of local reality.
But, I was conscious of driving.
I know.
Making that turn. I even had to stop.
I know.
Turn around, drove to the other end to confirm that something was missing.
Right, and it was missing. You didn't just black out. You actually left that reality plane and re-entered at another location.
That's true. It was like...
I've done that hiking and driving.
Yes, I was thinking, I thought about it, stop and thought about it for a moment, like somebody taken away from a spot and planted in another spot.
That's
it's
right.
Not like you dozed off or you didn't know what you were doing.
No, but if you looked at your watch, there would be no time interval between the two events.
There was none.
That is right.
I don't know. I'll say,
don't fret about it. I told you guys that you're going to have experiences that your minds cannot explain.
My mind couldn't explain it at all.
Of course not.
Can you, what he said again, Alan?
What?
I didn't quite.
Oh, okay, he left one place, and he was driving, and he picked a certain route, he turned left, and all of a sudden, he was in a total other location on his journey. But the space of whatever, a mile, 10 blocks, whatever it was, in between was gone, just missing. He didn't black out. He just left one reality and re-entered it again in another location.
So did he end up where he was heading, or?
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Kind of skipping some of the blocks and streets, which I know very well. I mean,
I've done exactly the same thing, and I know other people that have too. We call that's what we call economic travel. You save gas and time.
Do you have any control over it?
Not at this level. Later on, yes. But not where we are right now, but to have that experience is really cool. Now, I know we're taking some time with this, but it's really important. Did any of you all see A Haunting in Georgia on TV?
Yes.
No.
I did.
Yeah. It was.
What did you say?
It was a program on Halloween night, and they're repeating it on Discovery, called A Haunting in Georgia. And it's something we're going to talk about more tonight, because we're talking about divination tonight, and it's very important. But you see, all I'm trying to tell you guys is that there are realities out there beyond what we presently understand. Most of us.
But I think probably we've all had some, but we've dismissed it back.
Well, of course. We deny it. We rationalize it. We shut it down.
I think that, you know, it's interesting that even modern-day physicists say that they believe in a reality of 10 dimensions, at least 10 dimensions.
Okay. Okay.
And the reason why I bring that up is because I think that we have a tendency to sometimes be able to bounce between those dimensions, but we have to shield them or screen them in symbols that we can accept.
Exactly. Beautifully put. That is correct. And you see, a lot of what we cling to in terms of belief is exactly that. It is a bunch of symbols and references and guideposts that we assume are literal, and they're not. So this is fabulous, you guys. Tom, anything more you wanted to share? Magnus, was that, was that colossal egg you gave us enough?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Tom, was there anything more you wanted to share?
I just wanted to say that tonight I was glad that I kind of apparated into the class, because just the things that everyone has shared tonight has been very meaningful to me on different levels. And it makes me realize that even though we're in different geographical locations, we all are going through very similar things.
Right, exactly.
I guess my biggest thing this week is I've wrestled with my past, at least my past belief system and value system, in terms of the path that I'm pursuing now. And I've come to the place by doing, and I've had to kind of sneak out. I live in a neighborhood, and I mean, everybody here, they're very nice people, but they're, you know, pretty nosy, and we all have lights set up in our house, so if somebody comes within our zone, you know, the lights come on, and so I've had to kind of sneak out and, you know, kind of hug the, you know, part of my house different times to try to go out and speak to the wind, and it's been an experience, but I've done it, and I've been watched a lot, you know, especially by people in my house. They're wondering, what am I doing going out there, you know?
And Tom, if it would save you any torment, you are welcome to address Sky Father as my Heavenly Father.
Oh, yes. I understand that. That's what's really been enlightening this week, and I think that it was based upon something that you had said a few classes back, where I think you had said something to the effect that we cannot move forward until we come to the place of acceptance of the way things are in the present.
Right. Correct.
And so I've tried to be mindful of that, and it's really helped me this week, as it has helped everyone, apparently. I mean, it's just gotten to the point now where I realize I am not in control, and it's a big step to come to the place where you can accept that and just allow things to be.
Well, you see, as soon as you come to that place, what do you think happens? Then you're in control.
Sure, yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the conundrum of this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not the same thing as a rubbery thing you put on your sexual parts, by the way. And that's the mystery that we're working with here. You know, if you go out of resistance into acceptance, then the flow of the universe is virtually at your command. Now, I know that seems a lot to take in right now.
Perhaps it just sounds illogical, but I feel that as time goes by in this reality, that becomes more of a reality to me.
That's not illogical. Well, it may be illogical, but it is actually it's neither. It's neither logical or illogical. That's an isness.
Sure, it's a neutral point of being.
Yeah. It's one of the laws of the universe. Well, this is great. You all did extremely well with that. And let's see. We have. I get so excited I forgot what the coming week is. I have to go look. Which I will do right now. With clarity. All the same that you've been doing, just with clarity. I mean, you could do walking in clarity, but it might be sort of breezy. You might feel a lot like Swiss cheese. So just with clarity will do fine. And sure, that's air, but it's also water. You know, and just let's see where it takes us. So then, Dan, anything that you would like to talk about magical acts with tools and or your plate and so forth?
I spent most of my efforts this week trying to key my tarot cards.
How are you doing?
I think I'm doing okay. I went all the way through the wands and the swords.
That's great.
I don't know that I got it to window. When I would try to do the, you know, the soft gaze, kind of the diffused gaze, instead of becoming a three-dimensional thing, it would do like a stereo vision where I would see like two separate cards.
Okay. How did you do that? Did you do it by, how did you engage with the cards? Through questioning or what?
I started out doing questions, and then as I got on into it, before I could even ask a question, something would come to me.
Okay. So you would get some kind of impulse from the card?
Yes.
Okay. And is that at which the dimensions would shift?
No.
So you would get something from the card, and you would be engaged with what you got from the card, and then what did you do then?
Well, to give you a chronology there, when I would get something from the card, I could get it like immediately. When I turned the card over and laid it down, it was like, bam, there it was. And
okay.
Then I would try to, you know, do the diffuse thing and see if there was something else there, and but from what you had described and what the writing and the
book described as being like a three-dimensional type thing. It just never quite happened for me.
Okay. However, when you got what it is that you got from the card, did that make the card seem different?
Yeah.
Okay, that's windowing. So for you, apparently, as soon as you turn over, it windows.
Okay.
From what you're describing.
Yeah, now, one thing that, different words came to me, like when I was doing ones. I know that that's an air thing and it should be like thoughts, but it kept coming to me the word of being obstacle.
Which card?
All of them. The word that came to me was obstacle. When you had like...
Is that what you mean by something would come to you?
No, there would be like a phrase or something would come to me. But the particular word, instead of being like what it probably should have been was thought or something of that nature, the word that came was obstacle. Like the one where the guy is standing there looking over and there's a mountain off in the distance.
Yeah.
And,
that's two of wands, right?
Okay, and... it came to me the word of that was an obstacle, and like the one where I guess it's maybe the 9 or 10 or something where they're kind of at a an angle and there's
he's carrying them.
Okay,
that's the 10.
Okay, that came to me like that there was an obstacle, or these were obstacles in the way from. To get of getting from, you know, where I am to over to across the water there to the mountains.
Okay, that is not part of the exercise.
Okay.
For one, it isn't correct.
Well, and I figured that out, and then that was kind of unsettling to me that why was that. That coming there and
it doesn't matter. There is, again, no why. That's just your experience.
Okay.
That that part of it is not of value.
Okay.
Remember I said to you, we're not trying to figure out what the card means. So anything that we do in terms of the meaning of the card or anything that the card signifies is not part of this exercise. But in spite of that, it would seem that the cards are windowing for you, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. Because it would be like a phrase. It would just pop right out there. But what was troubling to me is the end word or whatever was always obstacle. After reading, I knew that didn't seem to be what it should have been.
Right, right. But just to clarify, like, when this would happen, okay, you turn the card over and you put it on your plate, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is that when you got the phrase? Or did something else happen first?
After I relaxed and got into it, the instant that it hit the plate, the phrase came.
Okay, so the phrase was what happened.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. I it's a little hard for me to know for sure... But I would go back and start with the two of the wands and the three of wands, just do a few,
uh-huh.
A little differently, and see if you get any different effect. Just turn them over and start some kind of anything you need to do to block out that.
Now, I was also, I could pick up a feeling from the card. I could pick up a feeling of celebration or a feeling of whatever.
Okay. So each card gave you a different impression, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Right. That is probably windowing. I just want you to recheck it to make sure.
Okay.
You know, because you want to keep the mind out of it as much as possible. Now, sometimes the mind is useful, like I say, in engaging our focus and our attention. If you can hold your attention in the card without doing a bunch of mentalizing, that's fine.
I could do that. That was because I was doing that while I was trying to get it to do something that I would consider to be windowing.
Right, right. Well, that's fine. And windowing is different for different people, you know. But if the card makes a strong impression on you,
it did that.
Yeah, then it is probably windowed. Okay. So just recheck it a little bit just to be sure, and then just keep going on. Sounds like you're doing great. It's a tricky business because we can't define it in ordinary reality so well. Cool. Jennifer, and you finished, right?
Yes, I did. I didn't shuffle them, though.
Oh, yeah. So the ones that you had, that did not key, those wand ones and the seven of discs, after we talked, did they key?
Yeah, I believe they did.
Okay, cool. Cool. That's really good. And Dan, there weren't any that didn't do anything for you. They just were flat or blank?
No, I think they all got some dimension to them.
Yeah, no, I know yours did, Jennifer. I was asking Dan because I'd forgotten to ask him that.
Only maybe one or two. Didn't feel like anything was there.
Did you happen to put those aside? Which ones are they?
I know which ones they are. I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head, though.
Okay, you want to find those and either work on them again or bring those to class, okay?
Okay, one of them for sure was the guy, the swords, the guy sitting in bed with his hands in his face.
Okay, the nine of swords?
Okay, that one didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, have you had a lot of nightmares in your life?
Yes.
Is that a comfortable place for you?
No.
Okay. Is that a place you would rather avoid?
Absolutely.
Okay. That card is called a nightmare card.
Okay.
Now, it is not that in its upright position, but in its reversed position it is, and also buried unconscious stuff. But in its upright position, it means breaking through that. But since you have a loaded meaning, obviously you're seeing the card in its reverse mode, or feeling it.
Okay.
And that's why it doesn't want to window for you.
Okay, I've always had the thing of the shadow guy after me.
Yeah. So now with that understanding, go back and go again and see what happens.
Okay.
Cool. So, Jennifer, anything you did with tools and played other than with your tarot guys you want to talk about?
I did the line thing.
The cutting of lines?
Yeah, they seem to come back a lot. Is that usual?
No, not usual. That happens more, I think, with... religious fanatics, perhaps, or highly trained people. But generally, highly trained people, if you snap a line on them, they'll look for some other avenue or go look for somebody else, because it's not worth it.
But I feel relief after I've done it.
Then just keep doing it. Eventually, they'll get tired of it.
Okay.
But it works.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I did it too, and I feel that it really shifts kind of the world at large very nicely.
Yeah. I put some brown boxes into my sore neck and stuff, and that helped.
Stabilize it?
Yeah, when I felt it was right. I put some brown in there and let it settle out, and then I flowed some water in so it could wash out what it didn't need, I guess.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Good planning. Randy, how about you? Anything you did with your plate, towels, or anything you want to talk about, or tarot cards?
Sure. I, let's see, with my plate, I did a cutting of lines with on myself.
Right.
And, I didn't have clear results. So I might go back and try it again and make sure I didn't make any mistakes during the process.
How did you do it?
Well, I stood and, you know, went around in a circle with my plate held up with it facing outward.
Okay.
And
which hand?
Well, I had my
right or left?
I'm holding it with my left hand with my right hand palm facing out behind it.
Okay. You reversed it, your left hand.
No. Okay.
Well,
I reversed my hands, I guess.
Right, because if you hold it in your intake hand, then it is more useful to put your output hand in front of the plate.
Okay.
Palm facing back towards the plate.
Oh, all right.
And that way you can feel incoming vibrations bouncing off the plate onto your hand.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
we're not done yet. When you went around in a circle with your right hand behind the plate, what did you experience? Anything?
Well, I thought I experienced a cool spot.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I sort of did a pushing forward motion with the plate.
With both hands?
Yes.
Good. Okay, now you say that did not make a difference.
Well, not a clear difference. So,
what would you anticipate that cold spot would have been, and about what compass point was that?
Oh, I would say that cold spot was, let's see, southwest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who do you know in down towards the Phoenix area?
No one down there. That's kind of the direction of, Delta and Cedar Ridge where I have,
okay, yes it is.
My property's down there.
Oh, okay. So, is there anybody in connection with your property or the obtaining of it and so forth that could be pulling energy from you?
Could be my tenant, because I got a message from him on my answering machine stating that his wife and family had left him.
So he's in a sort of a down period?
He's in a dilemma, I think.
Okay. So he might well be sort of, pulling energy from you and many other people too, right?
Yeah.
So now, when did you do the line breaking?
It was about noon.
Today. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So really there hasn't been a whole lot of time elapsed to really evaluate how you feel.
No. But I was actually, I keyed it to, once again, to try to push out my own negative thoughts and emotions.
That's not what a plate is for.
Oh. Okay.
That's an omnil.
Oh, yeah. No, I did omnil today also. That's what I did.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, I would just give it a little more time.
Yeah.
And see how, I mean, let me put it this way. Over the last, how long has he been in that dilemma? You don't know, probably.
I don't know that. Yeah. I'm going to try to call him at his father's house tonight, I guess.
Okay. I would ascertain how long that's been going on and see if you've had any sense of, either depression or weirdness, anxiety, anything like that that matches that period of time.
All right.
And then see if it lifts.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the only way I know to check it out.
Yeah. yeah, it's a good point.
Okay, cool. And where are you with your tarot deck?
Oh, I'm about, a little more than a third through the deck.
Cool.
A third.
How's it working for you? Any problems?
No problems.
Are there any that didn't window?
Well, yeah, I think there's a few that didn't win. Yeah, there's some that didn't window.
Okay, you want to be sure and put those aside so we can talk about them.
Oh, okay. I forgot to put them aside.
Yeah, see if you can go back through and spot them.
All right. Okay.
Cool. Helen, how about you?
I really have done nothing.
Okay.
I have largely been finding myself wanting to be in nature when I'm not working.
Right.
And that's kind of what I've been doing.
Okay. Have you gotten a deck?
Oh, well, actually, I did a few, yes.
So you have keyed some cards.
I have keyed some cards, but that was from the week before.
Okay. What were there any that didn't key?
And no, I only did about three, and they windowed for me.
Okay, pretty easily?
Yes.
Okay. So, is there anything wrong that you says you can't take your deck out in the woods?
No, it's this place where I'm at. There's a kind of strong desire on my part to just kind of be still and just be and not do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it's not that I couldn't do it, but I've more been following what my desire has been.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can certainly understand that. it would be interesting to check that, the level of that desire at Tarot is a great way to check that.
How do you mean? I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Well, a lot of times when something comes up in our lives and what we're used to doing is just saying, okay, that feels good, I'll go with it. Well, the tarot is a tool of divination, which we're going to talk about tonight.
Right.
What are tools of divination for? And so the tarot is so multi-purpose, so to speak, that you can check anything. If you just want to see, well, how, where will this take me, for instance? Okay, if I just do what feels right, where will that end up? See, the tarot can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Even before I've keyed them?
No, you have to key them to do that.
Okay.
But I'm just giving you some parameters of the value of the tool.
Okay, I gotcha.
Right. Uh-huh. And also, I haven't looked at the emails, but I mentioned that if anybody wants a Celtic cross reading, just email me and say so. We'll do it in class.
Oh, okay.
You know, so the value of that is everybody gets to share not only how these readings work, but kind of, you know, how do you do a reading? You know, because obviously we have to do readings in class or else you guys won't know what we're doing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so you might want to take a look at that and just see what that shows you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to. The option is there. I've got readings, and I'm totally willing to do it on everybody in class that wants it.
I'd love to have one.
Cool. So all you have to do is email Stephanie or the school, whatever, and say, coloring.
Okay.
So,
I can do that.
We're gonna, next week we go over the Major Arcana, but the week after we'll start doing readings.
Okay.
You know, and so I understand what you're saying. I've had a lot of those feelings too. And, of course, for me, it's how do I maintain the balance?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always lived my life as such a responsible person.
I hear you.
That I'm kind of not too worried that I'll stay in this place, although, but very much wanting to explore what it's like to kind of set my own agenda.
I hear you.
Yeah.
That is very significant.
And I do, I'm concerned about how it fits with keeping up and all that stuff.
Well, just don't burn your bridges. There isn't a whole lot you have to do to keep up. It's less than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, give yourself both sides of that coin.
Yeah.
If you were a person that did this course, and I've had it, and, you know, mildly benefited, I might not say that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way I see it.
Okay.
You're too powerful. It's like Tom, too. You know, the both of you don't have a clue. Really, all of you. You don't have a clue as to the innate nature of your own power because you don't quite know how to focus it yet. But enough said.
Okay.
Magnus, what kind of things have you been doing with plate or tools or with your tarot deck?
Yes, in the week, I sent a lot of messages, and with deadline, I should say, that is, I sent, say, in my mind, I want result, or I say, I want result. And the way it turned out was surprising. Then, with the cutting lines, I was in the process of cutting lines. I took out the first set of plates I bought and keys. And somehow I kept watching because in the week, whatever I do, it's late at night, you know, I go back and watch the videos.
Right.
Then I got this idea. I remember in the class you said any plate. So I said, wow, I bought my plates. I need to get another plate. That took me a long time. I shopped and bought another plate. With brown color, it didn't have the sufficient brown colors. When I watched again, I saw that the one Stephanie had, you know, in the video doing demonstration was physically brown, you know, with designs in it.
It doesn't have to be, though.
You see, so I had this mirror, even the second set I bought, I was thinking, I said, hey, because that was what maybe when I did the... I didn't feel anything. I kind of like I didn't have the right to.
No, but you keyed the plate, right?
Yes, I did key.
Okay, so how do you know that you didn't cut lines? When you went around in a circle, did you feel some energy coming at you?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't feel any like cold or hot spot or.
Okay, maybe there wasn't any.
So I ended up kind of like trying to be a dealer in place, but I guess...
Well, you can tell if your plate works or not easily. You don't have to cut lines to tell if your plate works. Just hold your plate in the same hand position you would to cut lines or break lines with your fingers on the rim and your thumbs on the back in the center of the back. And pull some green energy in through your arms and down through the plate and move the plate close and further away to your own leg, say. And see if you feel tingling at a certain distance, probably about 8 to 10 inches. If you do, you've got a key plate, no problem.
I guess I'll try it again and see. Because when I keep the place, you know, the smoke stock and things like that, the wiping, I make sure I wipe it right.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll try it again tomorrow, but this time I think I will use different water, because in the week it came up like a revelation. Somebody told me where I can go and get spring water.
Okay, okay.
I went there. I was smiling like I was losing my mind. Everybody looking at me.
Right. You know, cool.
That's the way I make sure it's water from nature.
Okay, cool. That'd be fine. So have you started working with your deck?
Today, kind of everything got suspended, trying to manage my little time with the plate issue and
okay.
Some other things.
Okay.
So, but I told myself, definitely this week is going to be for the car, so that, because 78 of them, so many, I get rid of it. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't take as long as you think, but you do want to get started.
Yes.
Sure, cool. Tom, how about you?
Well, it's been a pretty interesting week. I'm working on my deck, and it seems to be going pretty well at this point in time. I'm maybe less than a third of the way through.
Cool.
I did a four-element cleansing on all of my crystals and different stones that I have in the house that I don't even know why I ended up buying them, I guess, originally, but I kind of know why I have them now.
Sure. And did they feel different after you cleansed them?
Oh, yeah. They seem purer. They seem almost like they're pure.
Right.
And so I feel a sense of, I've always had this cloudy sense of this kind of advanced spirituality in my life, but I was not really sure what that was. I feel like now, with the use of, you know, the shielding that we have learned and these different techniques, that it seems to be changing the things on that level.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you see, you're learning a precise language, so to speak.
Right, exactly. I see it that way, and, you know, I mean, I've just had a pretty interesting week. I really think that acceptance has brought me to this place where it's not that I don't care. I'm not apathetic, but I've released myself from the responsibility of holding on to everything and trying to make sense of it all.
Well, then you have undone the burden of insanity.
Sure, exactly. And you know, listening to many people here, I get the sense that, you know, I can only relate it to my experience with addiction and learning about people that are D2 gened. I feel like, you know, it's not an accusational thing that I'm saying, but I feel like many of us here are, in a sense, at one level or another, addicted to life, and we're having a hard time letting go of it.
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, you said it better than I could say it.
So, that's pretty hard to do.
Well, these studies are meant to shift our complete paradigm, and they will. And then we all seem amazed when it happens. But that's what was the premise of the course. Or the whole course of study, the apprenticeship. So, yeah, but that's what we said, and that's what is happening. And there's occasionally a person that is not ready for that, and that shows up pretty close early on, like when Kimberly left and so forth.
I wonder if it's not the case that many of us here are realizing on different levels the need to shift and transition into the new spiritual reality. I mean, I feel that many people here are very spiritual beings.
All of you are. Absolutely. And it's that impulse is going to get stronger, but it's not going to plague you because you're doing it. If you didn't do it, it might start plaguing you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. Were there any cards that didn't key for you? Didn't window?
No, not yet. I mean...
Cool. Well, if there are, just put them aside, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Wonderful. So I want to talk a little bit about divination.
Helen?
Yeah.
When I did my line cutting with my plate, mine felt heavy. I didn't get that hot, cold sensation.
It can feel heavy.
Yeah, I was just going
to... Oh, sure. Just any anomaly at all. Because it shows up in different ways. And it also sounds like, Jennifer, you have some pretty, heavy resenters in your life.
Yeah, but my overthinking can't analyze. I don't know where they're at or why I'd have that.
Well,
I'm sure I do.
Well, because you're from a good old, what would you say, American apple pie background? That's what we're all about. There's a good side to that, too. Because, you know, like that sign, don't tread on me, on the, or Six Emperor Fidelis, or that's the Marine Corps one, don't tread on me, I think it's Virginia. You know, all those, we're not, as a country and a culture, mixture of cultures, we're not easily blown away. So there's a value to that too, but it's a question of the balance and how it's used. So, well, the nice thing is we're moving into a level of the course where we can start to analyze, if you like the word, these things that happen to us in terms of their actual cause and effect, the chains that they set up. So rather than mentally constructing and what is going on, we can actually determine what is going on. And that's what divination is. It's the means of obtaining information by psychic or magical means not readily available through our five senses. So it's also available information, and we have a right to it, where we don't need to call on, so to speak, experts and authority figures, i.e. we can do it ourselves. And, of course, the purpose of doing divination in magical practice is so that we can select or have some control over the outcome of events in our lives by having some idea as to what is potentially about to happen. We use it to discover the influences, energies and probability lines that we are setting up in our lives, because a lot of times those are not obvious to us. And all of this is based on two principles. The first one is that the future is not predetermined or predestined, and that it can be changed at any time before it is a now time thing. And that the second is that divinations done as to the future are only probabilities based on the assumption that the current influences in our lives or anybody's life will continue unaltered. But if we do alter that, then the future will change. i.e. that any change made in the present will change the future.
there's two qualities or types of divination, what we call direct and indirect forms of divination. With direct methods, it provides a visual field for us, visual. You can see it, which the mind can project desired information or gather desired information from. The gathering of the information does not have to just simply use visual ability, but it is displayed visually. So this method allows psychic or unconscious perceptions to manifest into the five senses so that we can understand them. However, the direct methods are more susceptible to our own opinions, beliefs, and influences than are indirect, such as one of the prime ones is, say, applied kinesiology or muscle testing, which is very easily overridden by the operator's opinions, the tester's opinions. So those are your direct forms. Now with indirect forms, they provide not a visual field, but are interpreted through symbols. And of course, with the indirect form of divination, we are not part of the divination. We are simply, our part is simply to interpret the symbols. So those are far less susceptible to input from our mind, past experiences, and so forth. And the information is coming directly from the universe itself. An example was that of the Tarot, the I Ching, runes, and the pendulum can be used for either direct or indirect, according to how you use it. And then the Ouija board, which has been a classic, popularized tool of divination, is the worst of all. Anybody that did see that movie or does see that movie, which is supposedly real, based on total actual events. The whole problem started, well, let's see, was in that one, I forget, one of the, I saw two, Haunting in Georgia and another one about possession with the Catholic Church and so forth, which was equally powerful. And I think it was in the possession one that one of the little girls that was demonically possessed had done so through the use of the Ouija board with a bunch of friends. That's not uncommon, actually, because there are no protectors with the Ouija board, and the way to make it work, you are making yourself open to the influences of that being, whatever they are, discarded or whatever, and so it's just like walking downtown with your pants off. There is no protection, and there's no interview process either. You're not determining the efficacy of the knowledge, information, and beingness of the being you're working with, and you're wide open, and they can come right in you if they choose to. And then what do? Well, you cut lines and you do a banishment. That's what you do. So, the water bowl, the chalice, and the fire bowl are instruments which we have talked about, except for the fire bowl. We haven't really gotten much into divination with it. This is the same. They are direct methods of divination. And there, what you're doing is, with the water bowl, you're using energetic water as you're looking into surface. With the chalice, you're using a dark liquid in your chalice. And then with the fire bowl, you use the column or curtain of smoke. It's much the same as, say, one reading tea leaves or something like that. no different, really. It's intuiting the patterns and what they mean.
Would you make smoke the same way we do for tea?
Yeah, but I would, for cleansing or keying, you don't have to do the fireball for divination, you don't have to charge it. But I would get more water, heavier smoke. I would use more water incense. Sweeter stuff. You want pretty heavy smoke for that. And you want a lot of smoke. And in your notes, it goes over each of those and the use of them as a review. And I read over all those notes. They're very good. So I don't want to dwell there because I do want to cover the pendulum and I want to cover the warding and binding of mirrors because that's really important, plus map divination because those are things you haven't done at all. So you can make your own pendulum, you can buy a pendulum. It doesn't matter whether you make it or buy it. What matters is if it's about the right weight so it'll swing easily. You don't want it too heavy and you don't want it too light. And you want it on a fairly flexible chain. And as the notes say, a silver chain is fine. Don't use a gold chain. And if you're going to use a quartz, clear quartz crystal, you need to keep it in a pewter or lead box. Otherwise, it picks up too much stuff and will not work as well. Same with Aurora crystals. I don't know if they're still around that much, but they're ones that are synthetically made, and they've got a lot of petroleum in it in the process. They don't work that well. But once you've arrived at a nice pendulum for yourself that swings readily, and it's nice if it ever comes to a point, but not totally essential. It's just a little easier to read it. Then you key it by holding it in your output hand and just flowing energy into it until it feels key, spiky, warm, loaded, whatever. And then it's ready for use. Now, if you're going to do it by direct method, that's where you see people hold the pendulum over their hand and they swing it or over a person's body and so forth, and then you have to decide what the answers are. In that method, it could be that clockwise means yes, counterclockwise means no, and so forth. The problem is that is totally subject to input from yourself or somebody else. It's not a very stable form of divination unless you can really keep your mind out of the picture. And of course, it does say to do a four-element cleansing on your pendulum before you key it, which is always a good idea. Okay. Now, the indirect use of the pendulum is done where you actually make your body into a tripod and you're not swinging the pendulum at all. It swings itself. It's really cool. And you do it over your plate, your keyed plate, and you have a template, which I believe is posted in your notes, along with the picture of the left eye of Horus, which we need because you will be putting that on your mirrors and TVs and so forth. So the simple plate for beginning work of the pendulum is one that says yes, maybe no, as opposite polarities, i.e. it's a cross or four quadrants. And essentially, it doesn't really matter where you put yes and where you put no, as long as they're opposite one another, and where you put maybe yes and where you put maybe no, as long as they're opposite one another. So you cut that out and put it on your plate. And then you prop your elbows up on either side of the plate. I would use candles on either side for greater protection. And you hold, you want to a moderately long string or chain on your pendulum, and you hold it between your thumbs, and then you rest your forehead on your thumbs. Now you got a tripod of your body. You don't swing the pendulum. You just let it hang there over the plate. And then you ask it questions. Now, of course, this is the part that takes a little practice. What is your question? Because if you ask the pendulum, is it going to rain tomorrow, it's going to say yes. Anybody know what would be the reason for that?
And it rains somewhere in the world.
Right. So you have to be more accurate than that. So accuracy is extremely important in questioning the pendulum, and practice is extremely important. So we start out by doing what we call close futures, by asking the question about something which the answer in the normal phenomenal world will show up within the next half an hour or so to an hour or so. Will it rain here over my house in the next hour? Will my roommate come home in the next hour? Will my husband call within the next half hour to an hour? Things like that. And then you ask the question out loud is good. Doesn't necessarily have to be out loud as well. You can hold your focus and hold your focus on the question. The pendulum will start to move all by itself. I know it sounds sort of woo-woo, but that's what happens. If it moves clockwise around the plate, keep holding the question as your focus. The answer is coming. If it moves counterclockwise, you're trying too hard and not forgetting to focus on the question. Or you're speculating on the answer, or you're distracted. So take a deep breath and refocus and start again. Now, once the pendulum starts swinging clockwise, it will resolve. It'll take maybe a little while, not very long, a few seconds or more, 5-10 seconds at the very most. It will resolve into an actual straight line swing over your plate, either in the yes, no line area or the maybe yes, maybe no line area, somewhere in those quadrants. Okay, and so what you do is you watch it, and this defies physics, what will happen next. You all will love this. Because this pendulum has to swing equal arcs from the center hanging point. You will notice very clearly that your pendulum does not do that. It will swing longer in one direction than the other, which is, from physics standpoint, impossible, but that's what it will do. And the longer swing is the answer. So if the longer swing is towards the around the yes, no line, but longer towards the yes, that your answer is yes. And the maybe yes, maybe no is where it's conditional, not as sure, but it's 70%. A maybe yes is 70%. A maybe no is 70%. A yes or no is much higher. So how we train ourselves is to simply approach it in that way until we get, so we can get a good yes with something that then pans out in the next half hour to an hour or so, and then we're in sync. Our pendulum is now working for us. So that's just the beginning, because you can, as you'll notice with the different plates we have on in your nose, you can use it like you would a Ouija board, i.e. letters or numbers and so forth. So you can spell out words, you can spell out addresses, you can spell out phone numbers and so forth. Same method. So, and one of the most astounding uses of the pendulum that I know of is what's called map divination. You generally need, if you're going to use a big map, like a state map or something, a highway map, you need a fairly good length pendulum to do it. If it's too short, it isn't very useful. So this is used, by the way, when you want to either locate someone or something on a map, i.e., you want to find a house to move to, or a good location for your business, or something like that, or a person that you cannot locate. It's a little more complicated, so you may have to use different maps, but just for say, okay, I want a house, and I want it in the certain criteria. So you write down on a piece of paper the criteria. 4-bedroom, 3-bedroom, 2-story, 3-story, split level, ranch, whatever. What kind of neighborhood? What kind of money do you want to pay either to rent or buy? What kind of terms? What kind of decor? Anything that matters, you write on the list. Then you take your list and you put it on your plate, put the map over the plate, and ask the question, is such a place on this map? And, of course, you can even put the yes-no template on top of the map if you want to. And if you get a yes, or even a maybe yes, you're good to go. So now, how do you locate that place? Quite easy. You take the map off the plate. You verify that there is a location, a house or whatever, on this map that matches that description. So you go to the top edge of the map. Now, you know, maps have these keys on them, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, across the top, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth down the side, or vice versa. You're going to do exactly the same thing, except you're using your pendulum instead. You ask the question, you get the map spread out on the floor or on the dining room table, and you get your tripod set up over the top edge of the map as close as you can. Even if you fold the map in half, doesn't matter. Or lay on it. You can do that. And then you ask, where is that house or that person or that building or whatever? Where is what I'm looking for? But by the name of the object. And you let the pendulum swing until it swings a line up and down the map. You just notice, where does that cross, where does it start from? At the top of the map, you want to be about center of the top of the map in your upper swing, and then where does it swing towards going down the map? And when you get a good sense of that, take out a ruler and draw a line, a pencil line, across, chalk line, whatever, pencil line is better, across the map, matching that swing. Then you go to the right or left side of the map, long side, and you do the same thing. Where is that house or whatever? And you'll get a swing going across the map. Just visually see where that is crossing the map. Draw a line across the map. Where those two lines intersect is where your house is. And it works. I've done it. A lot of people have done it. It works great. Now, of course, if you have a fairly small-scale map, it may be kind of hard to pinpoint, as was the case when I did it in Boulder, of exactly what is it this street or that street. So then I used my alphabet plate, and I said, what is the name of the street? What's the first letter in the name of the street? And it came up exactly what the first level, I think it was Ingersoll Place off of Moorhead, as I recall, or Hawthorne Place, maybe it was. And so an H came up. So, oh, it's not Ingersoll, it's Hawthorne, because those were two that would be hard to differentiate. And then, because I know that street, it's not very long, it's actually a horseshoe, I figure rather than douse for the number of the street number, I would just go look. And I went and looked, and as I was driving up the street, I saw this house, just about where the line seemed to cross, that all the possessions were packed up in the garage, and the front door was open, the garage door was open, and there's a huge bunch of boxes in the garage and so forth. And I said, wow, I wonder if this must be the house. So I walked up to the house. I didn't even make it all the way up to the house before I heard this person running down the street yelling at me. And so I waited until that person came. They said, you want to inquire about the house? He was sort of out of breath, but also kind of seems kind of surprised. I said, yeah. He said, well, how did you know it was for rent? I said, well, I just knew. He said, because I just put it in the paper. It hasn't even come out in the paper yet. I just laughed and said, well, just the way it is, you know. He showed me around the house, and it was everything I had proposed. Complete with boa constrictor, although he was taken that with.
Oh. Is that on your list?
No, it wasn't on my list. Or you would have left it. So that was just a funny side anecdote. I got to carry this boa constrictor weighing about 100 pounds around the house. So that's how you do that, and it works great. Okay, now mirrors, I need to move along because I've only got about 10 minutes. We want to end on time. Any mirror, whether it's a silver regular mirror, looks like a mirror, a black mirror, actual, or a black TV, black oven front, anything that looks like a black mirror, these are all doorways into our world and into our area. Even if you have up on those, these are still doorways, and they need to be shielded, what we call warded and bound, because beings can come through them. Your silver ones, because they reflect into our phenomenal world, then that would be beings on our level. Black mirror from anywhere in any universe, any time, any place, any reality, whatever. That's where allies, whatever, all those different weird beings can come through and so forth. Why don't they? They do. We just don't notice them, but, you know, as time goes on, you may notice. But it's just valuable to know how to ward and bind your mirrors. And it's very easy to do. And that locks it so they cannot. Now, there's two things they can do. They can either take up residence in the glass and watch you, or they can come through into this reality and so forth. So you do a four-element cleansing on the mirror. You can do them all at once. Go around your house, do them all at once. Fireball all of them, talus all of them. Sweep them all with electric blue. Let's say an edge-on blade. Okay, now they're ready. And then you put the ward on, which is the symbol of the left eye facing eye of Horus, on the down right-hand corner of a rectangular square mirror. If it's an oval or round, put it in the center at the bottom, left facing, not right facing, left facing. And in your nose, it tells you the difference. Okay, once you've done that, now it is warded. That means that nothing can take up residence in the glass. I'll tell you a funny story when I'm done. So then right after you've done that, you bind it, which means nothing can come through, by taking your asami, and just like you would put up cutting down window curtains, you put up electric blue bindings from corner to corner, corner to corner, locked into the frame. Top right, lower left, top left, lower right. And it is bound. And if you want to open it, then you cut it vertically from top to bottom with electric blue, and it's open. Now, one of the students in my class in basic magic, the first time I took it with George, didn't get his directions right. So he didn't do a four-element cleansing first. He warded first. I think he actually forgot to do a four-element cleansing altogether. He warded and bound. And then, as George told us, we had made our own black mirrors, which you'll learned how to do later on in this course. And he put it away in a special place, wrapped it up, put it away, and that was fine. When we got ready in that part of the course to use it, he got it out. Now, how you make them is you paint the back of a glass with black paint. Fairly, not flat, fairly glossy. So it makes on the front side a nice black reflective surface, which is your black mirror, and then you put it in a frame, so forth. Don't do this. Nobody will do this. I'm telling you how to do it. You do not do it until we're ready to do it. Okay. And then he packed it away. And when he got it out, there were claw marks all over the glass, the back of the glass, through the paint. Because something had taken up residence in the glass, but he bound it, and they couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get out, clawing his mirror.
Wow.
So he had to start all over. But just good evidence how these things can work. So any questions on any of this fanciful stuff we've talked about? Dan?
Yes, I have a question. You had mentioned last week if you had a brown plate that you did not have to load it with brown.
Sure.
I actually cut lines this past week with a plate, and I was having a little problem with not loading it up or not having to load it up. I couldn't quite get that concept. Can you just briefly?
Well, you don't, just to cut lines, you don't need to load the plate at all.
Yeah, but I was going to push down a line.
Oh, then that's different. That's different. So if it is not a brown plate, you need a source of brown energy, right?
But I do have a brown plate. If I didn't have a brown plate, I can understand, but I do have the brown plate, so that was what was...
Then you just push brown, you just push, and it gives you brown energy, because that's the color of the plate. That's an energy source. That is a matrix right there.
So you don't even have to deal with loading it at all, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, if you want grass green, then you load it.
Okay, yeah.
And then the brown neutralizes, see, for that experience.
Okay. That was my question.
Sure. Good question. Jennifer, any questions?
No.
Randy? Randy? Oops, we lost Randy. Ellen?
No questions.
Magnus?
Yes, I have a question. Like I mentioned earlier on about bunch of Tesla plates above. On the second set, I have this plate at the rim has a kind of sunflower design.
Sure.
The middle part is brown.
Mm-hmm.
The zigzag design on the edge of like sunflower has a kind of yellow design. Then the leaf green.
Okay.
And it has an inner rim of design that has black. It's black, like checkered, you know, black and white. Or
black, right, okay, yeah.
Is it good so that I don't go buying a plate with the brown all over?
No, it's fine.
Okay, I can use it to...
Remember the rule of thumb about a color matrix? Anywhere where the color exists, the energy exists.
Okay.
It doesn't say it's got to be X number of square inches.
Okay.
So you've got all those colors available. Now, the plate will not work with some of those colors, but it will work with green, brown, and black, okay?
Okay.
Because those are your Earth colors.
Okay.
That's it. Tom, questions? Is Tom dropped off to you?
No, Tom's here.
Oh, any questions?
I just pushed the wrong button.
Oh.
I'm not so sure about questions, you know. It's kind of like unexplained territory, you know, for me still, so I just have to go and experience it.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a big deal. I'm not trying to make it a big deal. We are not fear driven in this these courses. You understand?
Yeah, I didn't mean to come across as being fearful. I'm just saying it's uncharted.
Right. And you didn't. I'm just sort of explaining. But you see, our commitment is to be thorough to you. So I tell you a lot of things you may never need to know. But then again, if somebody else that's trained starts talking about it and maybe they don't have proper information, at least you'll know about it. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
And believe me, a lot of this stuff may seem like not needing to know, but I've had experiences where I was really, really glad George had told us something, often just parenthetically.
Sure, and I
put it down. And it saved my rear.
Sure.
So, you know, I try to be thorough, that's all. And I know, I told you all that there's a lot of things that we're going to be experiencing that our belief systems are not really equipped necessarily to deal with.
Well, you bring up a good point. I have been a student of the Bible, and they are actually written in two specific languages, Greek and Hebrew. And as a result of studying the Greek New Testament text, I mean, you can get really freaked out by some of the word definitions that you can come across. Now, I also am involved real quickly in biblical research that is in the nature of the Torah codes.
Yes.
And that is an encrypted message that is within the subtext of the text, the original Hebrew text.
Right.
And what we find there is that there are clearly five potential outcomes to any situation. And, you know, based upon our ability to choose, that will determine what the outcome initially, you know, or ultimately will be.
Right, exactly. So that was the whole point of divination, is to have a sense of where it's all headed.
Exactly. And I mean, I find it to be a valuable tool.
Right. Cool. Yeah, I totally agree. So then we are done. And Helen, did you want to stay on for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then I thank you all. This was a wonderful class. Just inspiring. I needed that. So thank you from the bottom of my heart and the top of my heart.
You're welcome.
Yes, indeed.
Sure.
And good night to all of you. And